If you have a Bible, Mark chapter 15, young people, you're dismissed. Or Mark chapter 5, Mark chapter 5. David Jeremiah has a radio broadcast and a program. It's called In Touch. And we're going to be preaching about that, touching the Lord. It's good to have an intimate relationship with Almighty God. And some people think that's impossible. It is an emotional attachment. It's a spiritual attachment, physical attachment. God does so much for us. But we're going to read the story of the woman with the issue of blood. It's a miraculous story. The Bible's filled with miracles, amen? And he might not be doing some miracles in our lives, but we learn from these. We learn principles and help. So let's begin reading in verse 25 of Mark chapter 5. Verse 25 of Mark chapter 5. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians, and it spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. I'll wait until the pages stop rustling. That way everybody can be there, okay? When she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus immediately, knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of the plague." And let's ask God to bless his word today. Father, thank you for this true story. Thank you for all you've done down through history, what you're doing today, the promises that you make for our future. And I pray today that it would not be a form. It wouldn't be a drudgery for us, I believe. I pray that we'd all just so want you in our hearts today. Minister to us. Touch us. Hold us. Guide us. May we feel your presence, Lord. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. It's a great, great story. And it's an amazing miracle. And how did this come about that she should be healed? It says that she had suffered for 12 years. And she suffered many things of many physicians. We go back in the book of Job. Job was dealing with his friends and he called them physicians of no value. But we know that our Lord is the great physician. He's the one that can heal the sin-sick soul. She had spent all. Everything was gone. I don't know if you ever spent all and you tried to fix something and you just never could get it done. Well, she spent all and she was none better, the Bible says, but rather grew worse. She was getting worse all the time. Almost her hope was gone. And finally she said, "I'm just going to try this." And there's something different about this woman, something she understood that maybe a lot of people never understood. She said, "If I may but touch his clothes, I shall be whole." You don't have to go back there, but in the book of Haggai, by the time you find it, I can just read. But I want to read a few verses there. This is chapter 2, and this is verse 11. When you go back into the Old Testament, you see they were under the law. There was a certain law for how to do this, how to do that. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, ask now the priests concerning the law, saying, if one bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, and with his skirt do touch bread or pottage or wine or oil or any meat, shall it be holy? And the priest answered and said, no. Then said Haggai, if one that is unclean by a dead body touch any of these, shall it be unclean? And the priest answered and said, it shall be unclean. Defilement can be transferred, but cleanliness cannot be transferred." And that was the teaching that she had in her mind. if you want to look, well, let's just go on. Leviticus and Numbers also talks about it. You know, in the Old Testament and in the New Testament, when the lepers were around in the Gospels, they would always cover their face and they would cry out unclean, because if you touch that leper, you would be defiled. And so here's this woman. She says, if I could just touch his clothes, that is contrary to everything that had been taught. So she had to see something different. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus is talking to Peter. And he says to Peter, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Who do people say I am? And Peter said, well, some say that you're Elijah, and some say you're this prophet, and some say you're this. And then the Lord says, but who do you say that I am, Peter? And he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And he saw something that nobody else had seen. He was the Christ. He was the Messiah. And that's what happens to somebody when they get saved. You see God for who he is, Jesus as the Savior. Maybe your friends, maybe your family don't see the same thing. The connection isn't there. But you see it and it's real to you. Amen? And there's a lot of preaching today. There's a lot of teaching. There's a lot of information out there. But it's such a privilege to know Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Savior. Amen? And to have that relationship with Almighty God. Mary went to anoint Jesus. This is Mark chapter 14. And she took an alabaster box of ointment, very precious. She broke the box. She poured it out on the Lord. And she anointed him for his burial. And everybody was complaining. The disciples, Judas, why was this waste of the ointment made? We could have sold this for 100 pence or whatever and given the money to the poor. And Judas was really upset about it because he was a thief. He was the treasurer and he held what was in the bag. So everybody's against her. But Jesus said, let her alone. She hath wrought a good work on me. Wheresoever the gospel is preached in all the future, what this woman has done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. Because she saw that she anointed him for the burial. She believed that was the time to anoint him because he was going to be resurrected. She saw something deeper than anybody else saw. Jesus, after he rose from the grave, he was at the tomb where Mary was, and she thought he was the gardener. And he reveals himself to her, and he said this. This is after he rose from the grave. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Our Savior was the great high priest that the Bible portrayed in the Old Testament. We find that true in the book of Hebrews. And in the Old Testament, one day a year, the Day of Atonement, the priest would take the blood of the sacrifice and put it on the mercy seat to atone for the sins of the children of Israel. That's brought out a number of different portions of Scripture. And so Jesus, you could not touch that high priest. You would defile him. And so Jesus said, touch me not, I'm going to ascend to my Father, I will be back. And then Thomas, remember, in the same chapter, Thomas touched him. He went to apply the blood on the mercy seat, the heavenly mercy seat. It was a picture. It's a great, great truth. But now the picture changes and we're able to touch the Lord. And I want to give you some stories and some illustrations, because I don't know if you've ever come into church and it's just like, well, it's a bad day, and I'm not excited about it, and I hope I can stay awake for the service. And man, he preached 5 minutes longer than he should preach. And boy, that's a dull song. And I mean, you go on, and you go on, and you go on. And it's all this thing where it should be, I'm in the house of God. I am pleasing my Lord Jesus Christ. And where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. And we can sing the songs about his presence. And it excites us, and it's real. We pray before we come to church. We've knelt down, maybe by a bed, maybe just bowed your head at the chair, and you've talked to the Lord, and you can't wait to see what he's got prepared for you. Amen? Because he has something. And I'll stumble, maybe, and I'll forget this or forget that. I hardly ever do, though. But, yeah, I know. But it's still the word of the Lord, and God can do something with it. Amen? And so there has to be that excitement. Adam and Eve hid from God. He came down in the cool of the day and fellowshiped with Adam and Eve. And they believed the lie of the devil. And rather than come back to God for repentance, they hid themselves. And Jesus said, Adam, where art thou? He didn't say that for his benefit. He knew where Adam was. He wanted Adam to know where he was. And so he finally took care of him and forgave them. And then you know the rest of the story. But to be touched by the Lord, to be in his presence, is a powerful thing. There's a verse in the scripture, that's Proverbs 28:13. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. That's how you touch the Lord. That's how you feel that mercy. I'm a sinner, I confess my sin, and the Lord gives us his mercy. What a blessing that is. In Mark chapter 10, I remember preaching this in 1980, and there was a young man and his wife when I preached this message, and they accepted Christ as their Savior that day. He's now pastoring a church. He's been a pastor for a long time. And this message had a real effect on him. But it's about blind Bartimaeus. And he's sitting by the side of the road. He's a beggar, and Jesus is coming by, and he said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And the crowd tried to get him quiet, but he wanted that mercy. He wanted some help. And the Bible says, Jesus stood still, and he talked to this man. He said, what do you want me to do for you? And he said, I want to receive my sight. And the Lord touched him, and he got his sight. Amen? And there's a lot more to the story, but God does what we want. Amen? If you want to see something, if you want some help, some comfort, some grace, some mercy, all you have to do is ask. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. What do we need today? Amen? I need a shot in the arm. Okay, a spiritual shot in the arm or a physical? We can't give you the physical shot in the arm, but God can do something for you spiritually today. And I love these words and these stories. In Isaiah 64:6, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we do all fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. There is none righteous, no, not one. And all our righteousness is like filthy rags in the sight of God. Jesus told a group of people one time, except your righteousness exceed the righteousness of the Pharisees, you'll in no wise enter into the kingdom of God. We don't enter into this relationship with God by our good works. We enter into this relationship with God because of what he's done, and we've accepted that. We're all sinners, but we're saved by the grace of God. Amen? And that's what connects us, that mercy that is shown to us. In Luke chapter 15, Luke chapter 18, there's a lot in the book of Luke. But Luke chapter 18, a publican and a Pharisee went up to the temple. And the Pharisee said, I'm really glad I'm not like him. I do this right, and this right, and this right. But the publican said, God be merciful to me, a sinner. He wouldn't even lift up his eyes toward heaven. And God blessed him and forgave him. I mean, God can do that. Amen? If there's a pride involved, like I'm better than the next person, boy, you're going to lose touch with the Lord, because he has mercy on those who need him. Luke chapter 15, the prodigal son. He goes away, wastes all his money on riotous living. He's finally coming home. And the father was pretty happy about that. It's a picture of God being the father. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And he said, bring the best robe. The Lord does that for us, the best robe. It's a robe of mercy. It's a robe of forgiveness. It's a covering for us. And what's the verse? Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. That's all you have to do. Confess your sin. Fall on the mercy of God. And then you'll have that experience, that joy, and that heart for the Lord. In John chapter 20, we read about Thomas. He's called Doubting Thomas. The Bible doesn't say that. But we've named him. We've given him a nickname. He's Doubting Thomas. And he wasn't there when the Lord showed up to the disciples. And they were trying to explain it to Thomas. And he says, unless I see it, unless I touch him, I'm not going to believe. That's a good thing to say. Amen? If I don't have it, I don't have it. If I don't believe, I don't believe. What is going to make me a believer? I have to experience it for myself. Amen? Boy, that was a wonderful testimony that person gave. Man, God really moved in their life. He can do that with anybody here. Amen? It doesn't matter how long you've been saved, maybe a little time, maybe a lot. Maybe you've gone up and down, but if you really want that relationship with the Lord, that thriving, glory-filled relationship with the Lord, it's available for anybody who wants it. Christianity is not some dull religion, you know. I got to read my Bible, and I got to pray, I got to go to church. And oh, those sermons are so long, man, they are just so long. So anyway, Thomas is there, and the Lord said to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, touch me, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, touch me, and thrust it in my side. Be not faithless, but believing. Just touch me. And after he did, he said, my Lord and my God. It changed everything about him. Everything. A little later in the chapter, the Bible says how that we haven't seen, but yet we believe. Speaking of this age, there are those that are going to not see it, but they will believe. So we come to the scripture. Jesus is the Savior. That's a very simple statement. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So you accept Christ as your Savior. Since I have been redeemed, since I have believed. And we're Christians now, amen? Christ in you, the hope of glory and so many things. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. We have new nature. We're partakers of the divine nature. All of these things that God promises, where our life is not dull, it's exciting for the Lord. Amen? And then we go on, have thine own way, Lord. Saved people sing that song. Have thine own way, thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will, while I am waiting, yielded and still. And whoever wrote that song knew the principle. And it's what we're talking about today, touching the Lord. Zechariah chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, I'll just say them. I won't take the time to read them. Amos chapter 4 talks about that, where God is trying to work in somebody's life, and they don't allow him to work. But if you want him to work, he'll work today. Amen? God will work. Jude chapter 1, there's only one chapter, verse 22. And if some have compassion, making a difference, others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. So we have compassion on people. That's what God does in our heart. So we could pull them out of the fire. So we could keep them away from the judgment. So they can know God like we know God. Amen? There's a story back in Genesis 19. It's about Lot and how Abraham prayed that Lot would be delivered from the city of Sodom before God destroyed it. That's the previous chapter, chapter 18. And Lot is there, and he's believing that he has to get out of the city, but he's lingering. He can't get any of his family out, very few of his family, just his two daughters and his wife. But everybody else he couldn't get out. And this is what the Bible says. And while he lingered, he knew judgment was coming. He knew he was displeasing God. He knew all of that. He knew there was a way out. Here's the way of safety. If I go in this direction, all will be well. But he's lingering. If I knew that there was a bomb going to be dropped on this church in 5 minutes, I would only preach 10 more minutes. Wrong answer. I would get out as fast as I could. Amen? I'd get as far away from it as I could. He knew God was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And he lingered. This is what the Bible says. And the men laid hold upon his hand, these two angels, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. The Lord being merciful unto them, took them, touched them. Amen. Physically here, pulled them out. You do what you can do. Well, don't be so pushy. Well, I'm sure they were glad that they were pushy. Amen. Amen. A couple amens there. Okay. If you don't amen, I'll just preach longer. Amen. 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 Oh, proving my point. Okay. Here's Peter. And Peter's in a boat and there's a storm. And they see Jesus walking on the water. And Peter says, if it's you, Lord, bid me to come. And the Lord said, come. Come on, Peter. Get out of the boat. He got out of the boat. He's walking on water. Think of that. He's walking on water. Lord, if it's you, bid me to come. And Jesus said, it's me. Come. Pretty simple. Amen. That principle is all through the scripture. You want peace? You can have peace. You want filling of the Spirit? You can have it. Amen. You want comfort? Comfort's there. You want direction? You know, it's there. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. It's there. Just whatever you want. Lord, if it's you, and that's what people have to determine. Is this the Lord? Is this Jesus speaking to me? Well, if you read his word and it's God's word, then that's Jesus speaking. Amen. That's how he touches us, through prayer and the word of God. Okay. Lord, if it's you, bid me come. Okay, it's me. So he gets out of the boat and he's walking on the water. Then he got his eyes off the Lord. You ever done that? We've all done that. And you look at the storm, you look at the trial, you look at the problem, and he started to sink. And all he had to do was say, Lord, save me. Just that quick. The Lord will work quickly. Oh, it's a process. Some things are a process, but some things are immediate. And that is certainly a blessing. Think to his surprise. It said, and immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? That's why we're supposed to live by faith. Amen? And we're supposed to use that faith to follow the Lord. And if we do, you can't see it. You can't understand it. Why would he do it this way? You just believe it according to the scripture. Isaiah 41:10. This is one of my favorite verses in the scripture. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. How does he do that? You know, it's good to claim promises in the Bible because we need a lot of help. It's good to stay in the Bible because that's how you connect with the Lord. But what in the world does that mean? I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I wrote a few things down. Give me a hand. You know, give me a hand. And this is the way. And how about, well, children hold hands. People, you know, husbands and wives hold hands, right? A lot. Hopefully, sometimes. Once a year. Or whatever we can get, you know. A pat on the head, an embrace, a handshake, you know. And the Lord says, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my... Picture that. God is saying, he will help us. That's what the verse says. I am with thee. Be not dismayed. I am thy God. I will help thee. I will uphold thee. How does he do that? He upholds us. He gives us comfort. He gives us strength. He gives us guidance. All of these things. And it comes from his word and his spirit using the word in our life. The Spirit of God makes this book come alive. If you're lost today, it's just the Bible. It's a book. Boy, this doesn't work, this doesn't work, this. But when you're born again, Spirit of God, his Spirit bears witness with our spirit. That we're the children of God. And as we read and our faith grows, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye might grow thereby. So our faith grows and we go closer to the Lord. Amen. And it's like we're there with him. I don't know, in your prayer closet. Well, let me say it like this. I remember when I had a toothache or an earache or anything like that, my mom would hold me in a rocking chair and she would rock. Man, was that a good place to be. Amen? And the Lord can do that for you. Not physically, but He can come and put His arms around you. You could have a time in prayer that would be so wonderful if you just go to that mercy seat, because you need mercy. You just go to that throne of grace. Just spend some time with the Lord. He can be such a blessing to you. A man fell into a pit and he couldn't get out of it. A Buddhist came by and said, "Your pit is only a state of mind, imagination." A self-pitying person came by and said, "You haven't seen anything until you've seen my pit. My pit is the worst pit." A realist said, "Yep, that's a pit. A lot of help, you know. Yep, yeah, you are really in trouble." The idealist said, "The world shouldn't have pits." The optimist said, "Things could be worse." You ever get around? No comment, I'm just moving on. A pessimist said, "Things will get worse." And one's as bad as the other, you know? But Jesus, seeing the man, took him by the hand and lifted him out of the pit. "By the words of thy mouth, thou hast kept me from the paths of the destroyer." All the pitfalls, He's kept us out of the pit. Amen. And when we do fall, "A just man falleth 7 times, but riseth up again." Who helps him rise up? Give me a hand up, will you? Give me a hand up. And the hand of the Lord is always there. Just memorize Isaiah 41:10. Quote it. That's how you fight the devil. Amen? What a blessing. What a blessing. Prayer is putting oneself into the hands of God. Thomas Chalmers wrote, "It is in those times of hopeless chaos when the sovereign hand of God is most likely to be seen, because nothing else can help." Neil Anderson wrote, "Can you see the hand of God in your own life? I hope you can." Job said, "Where can I go that I might find God?" He was in a real trial and he couldn't get a hold of the Lord. But finally, at the end of the book, you see how that turned out very well for him. God is found in our prayer closet. He is. He's found in church when we come to church. He's here. The song says, "Hallelujah. He is here. Praise His name. He is here. You can touch Him. You will never be the same. Saved, lost, you will never be the same if you touch Him." Think of being filled with the Spirit. Just think of that. Filled with the Spirit. And being filled with the Spirit is being filled with the Word. You've got Ephesians and you've got Colossians that show you that. But being filled with the Spirit, love, joy, amen, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, faith, goodness, temperance, all of those things. And He tells us, be filled with the Spirit. So you must be able to be filled with the Spirit. Sometimes we grieve the Spirit or quench the Spirit, and we ride the roller coaster. Amen? But it's good to take the Lord with you so that you can have Him all there all the time. He's found driving your car. He's found walking around the block. He's found sitting on the couch at home. He's found anywhere you want to find Him. Amen? He's there if you want Him. Jeremiah 29:13. "And ye shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." That's how you find Him. Proverbs 17:16. "There were those that were seeking wisdom, but they weren't going to find it, seeing they have no heart to it." It's all in here. It's all in here as we receive the Lord. In Psalm 10:4, "The wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts." Hosea 10, "Time to seek the Lord." Just goes on and on and on. And then, okay, so I'm not seeking the Lord, preacher. I'm just not seeking Him. Do you want to seek Him? No, I don't want to seek Him. Did you want to come today? Nope, I didn't want to come today. And you don't have to nudge your partner. Amen. Do you want to read your Bible in the morning? Not. Do you want to pray? No, no interest. Think of this. Think of the mercy of God now. Because this is the thing that connects us. where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Here's somebody, man, I am a mess. I don't feel it. I don't want it. Help, just say that. But even if you don't say that, God's seeking you. God is always seeking you. Then Isaiah, I forget the chapter, but it's a chapter talking about the nation of Israel. And the writer says, thou art called, sought out. That's not proper English, but it's proper doctrine. Thou art called, sought out, because God was always seeking the nation. How about when you come to the New Testament? He has come to seek and to save that which was lost. So he comes. He comes in a service like this. He'll come on the way home. He'll come tonight. You pillowed your head in the bed, and he can come then. Don't ever refuse him. As he knocks on the door, open the door, let him in. He'll be a blessing to you. We go on. Isaiah 62:12, or Luke 19:10. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Last week I spoke on three kings. Saul, bad king. David, good king. Absalom, bad king. And Saul had a son by the name of Jonathan, who was a friend of David, and really kept David from getting killed. And Jonathan had a son whose name was Mephibosheth. So the war is over. David is the king. And typically, back in those days, when a new king defeated an old king, they would even kill all the relatives to keep anybody from rising up and being the new king. And so Mephibosheth, I'll just read it. Go in your Bibles, 2 Samuel chapter 9. 2 Samuel chapter 9. We'll read this. It's a great, great story. 2 Samuel chapter 9. That is right after 1 Samuel, if you're trying to find it. 2 Samuel chapter 9. And let's begin reading in verse 1. And David said, I'll wait just a minute. 2 Samuel 9. And David said, is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? He said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. We won't take the time, but in chapter 4, his nurse was carrying him away from a battle, and she fell, and he became lame on both of his feet. We became lame because of a fall. We fell into sin, and we're lame now. See the comparison? For Jonathan's sake, for Jesus' sake, the king is going to do something for us because we have fallen. The Bible says, and the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he's in the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel in Lodabar. Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, behold, thy servant. And David said unto him, fear not. Take the fear away. For I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, for Jesus' sake, and will store thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? And we were called Gentile dogs. Boy, all of the symbolism and the explanation here. Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him. Thou shalt bring in the fruits, that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread always at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons, 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. And As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. Think of that. Are you making the application here between yourself and Almighty God and Jesus the great king? And it says, and Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. And God put that chapter in our Bible. God put that story in our Bible. This isn't happenstance. This isn't coincidence. And how it's all written down there. And here we are, just a bunch of lame sinners. We have no righteousness of our own. All our righteousness is like filthy rags in the sight of God. And the king we have rejected, the king we have refused. But he's coming back and he's saying, you come into my house, put your feet under my table, and you have bread to eat. What is it, Psalm 23? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Maketh me to lie down in green pastures, leadeth me beside the still waters, restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. My cup runneth over. I've anointed with oil, amen. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Oh yeah, yeah, I've read that psalm. Make it, let it touch you. Let it touch you. I mean, if this story was true, if this was you in the flesh, and somebody did that for you, you would be grateful the rest of your life. I'm lame. I should have been put to death. There's nothing I could do. All my lands are being restored. All these blessings, the king is going to take care of me. The rest of my life, would there be an ounce of gratitude for that? Why can't we make the connection? Why can't we say, look what Jesus has done for me. I'm a fallen sinner. He's the king. He's got it all prepared for me. What a blessing. Luke chapter 7, where the woman which was a sinner, that's really all we know about her. She was a sinner, was in the Pharisee's house, and Jesus was there. And she took care of Jesus. She wiped his feet with the tears from her eyes and with her hair. And Jesus said this, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. When you realize what God has really done for you, it will connect you to that mercy. Amen. Boy, and that grace is so wonderful. You can tell people who've touched God. Romans chapter 5 and verse 5. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. Just a little bit of a review. You know, Jesus said, if you become like little children, they love to be held. You know, Jesus can hold you. Solomon, what do you want, Solomon? I'm just like a little child. I don't know how to go out and come in. Okay, well, I'll guide you. We do that with little children, don't we? As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that they may grow thereby. So we school them, we teach them, we are an example to them because we want them to walk in the way of the Lord. Listen to the songs. Since I have what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. Think back to the day you were saved and think of the change that took place. Amen. And sometimes we can be like the church at Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2 and we can leave our first love. But the Lord wants us to get that back. How do you do it, Pastor? How do you get that back? You spend time in His Word. You pray. One preacher said, pray until the fire falls. Amen? Pray until the fire. Pray until He touches you. Read a verse anywhere. I love the Psalms. Read a couple verses in Psalms. Talk to the Lord for a couple minutes. Read another couple verses. Talk to the Lord about something in your family, in your home, in your neighborhood, in your job, where you can connect with Him. And He will connect with you. He wants to be touched. He wants to be held. And when you want that too, what a great, great combination. In Mark chapter 1, verse 40, and there came a leper to him beseeching him and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. I am a leper. It's a terrible disease. I'm going to die from it. Lord, if you will, I can be healed. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. It's that simple. Let's bow our heads, please. Oh, the Lord wants to do something for you today. He wants to do something for you. Nobody knows maybe the deep need of your heart but you and God. But he wants to meet that need. He wants to reach out and touch you. His Spirit is here. He promises that. He says that in his word. They that come unto me must believe that I am and that I'm a rewarder for them that diligently seek him. If you're here today and you're not sure you're going to go to heaven when you die, ask Jesus to be your Savior. Ask him to forgive you of all your sins. Believe that he's the Son of God. You can trust him. If you're in troubled waters, you've walked to the Lord, you're trying to follow him, but you're in troubled waters and you're beginning to sink, just ask him to save you. Ask him to help you. Father, bless your precious word. Thank you for your Spirit. Work in every heart here. Every heart, Lord, for your glory and honor. In Jesus' name, amen.